The October 18, 2013 rain report will commence in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with the rain report. One of the exciting collaborations of late has been Amateur Radio and Spaceport Indiana. The president and chair of Spaceport Indiana is Brian Tanner, who spoke at the 2013 Dayton Hamvention.
I'd like to start out with a little bit about why ham radio is a little dear to me. Many of you probably come from this era as I do, growing up as a kid when we had the Vietnam War. My cousin, Philip Straw, was in northern Vietnam and shot and injured. He was shot through his chest and through his spinal cord and ended up paralyzed on his left side. He came back to the States after a long rehab and became a ham radio operator. To this day, I don't know what his call sign was. I still try to look that up. But I can tell you that my story with him, remembering him as a child in the 70s and 80s, he's passed away a few years ago, too young, because of those injuries. But I'm very convinced that ham radio saved his life. He became involved and engaged and was able to talk to people around the world and collaborate with people. And because of that, I have an affinity for ham radio operators. And I think what it did for him as an individual and how he had an opportunity to reach out. So it's pretty dear to me to be able to talk with these groups and be here every year. And I thought what I would do is talk a little bit about why this is important and what you do is important to what our operations are so that you can get an understanding of what spaceports do. Spaceports are an on and off path or on and off ramp to what I call the inner space system. It's a way for people to collaborate, to engage, and to experiment and explore, and be able to turn into what seemed so distant for us when we were growing up in the 60s as a space program into something tangible that we could talk about and engage in and kids could be raised to be involved in. And so our spaceports across the country and around the world have really become more of a conduit to encourage collaboration and activity. And it comes from a vast background of people, certainly in the case of children and K-12 education. But as you can see, our ham radio operators and our astronomy folks who bring all these people together and they create ideas and unique experiments where they can start as young people, for example, and explore until they become adults and their technologies become more advanced. But spaceports are intended to be a place of collaboration. And I would make just this one comment. If you've been watching SpaceX, the space planes and the Falcon 9 projects, those kinds of things, if space and commercial space in this country is only going to be for the wealthy, for the millionaire, then it's never going to be very successful. We have to make it a place, a playground, an interactive location for all of us to do some pretty great and innovative things. And believe it or not, spaceports around the world are really more in tune to be able to create those kinds of environments rather than the kind of environments that you see with space tourism on TV every day. We think space tourism is great. It's an awesome opportunity. And there's a lot of excitement around it. And I think it's great that someone my age or younger or older have the opportunity to take a flight into suborbit and understand what microgravity or zero gravity is like. But there's so much more for us to do that's so much more engaging and exciting. So we do a lot of balloon launches, and many of you have listened today to some great balloon launches and some great stories, and I think those are excellent. I'm encouraged about the kinds of things that are happening around the country with ballooning and ham radio operators. And yeah, we do that at the spaceport, and yeah, we've fallen into the same kind of challenges that most everybody has, the cost of helium going up. I was buying a T-tank for $90, and the last one I bought was $586. So we moved to hydrogen. It's $55, okay? So it's a big change. But we can't be afraid of that change. We've done it with high school students and middle school students. We've launched using hydrogen. And you just have to be smart about the way you approach it and how you deal with it. And Rick Wills, who comes out and does a lot of stuff with us at the spaceport, who's from here in Dayton, will tell me, you know, what kind of plan do you have and how do you use hydrogen and how do you make it safe? And I tell him, I just lick my thumb and I stick it up. And when it seems about right, we let it go. And in the meantime, we teach kids about why hydrogen's different and why it takes less than the amount of helium it takes to fly and why it's flammable and why helium is harder to ignite. And we talk about all these kinds of great things. It becomes part of the educational process. But we don't teach children to be afraid of anything or to walk away from it because the challenges are heavier or stronger. We just teach them how to deal with it. So as a place of collaboration, who collaborates with us? Well, if you remember Eisenhower, he created an interstate system. And when he did that, it linked the east and west coast of this country, and it changed how we move the military and economic and consumer goods. And spaceports do the same thing, so our collaboration becomes pretty broad. We have kids around Indiana. Mind you, we see about 300 kids a week in our STEM program. We've become the largest STEM program provider in the state of Indiana. And we're doing it because we have so many parents that are coming out of public school systems or homeschool parents who are saying that my kids need these experiences. They've lost their science labs in the public school systems. They've lost their shop classes where they're not teaching metal shop or electronics or wood shop anymore. And so they're concerned parents who come to us and say, this is the experience I want my kids to have. Unfortunately, even in the university level, some universities have gotten away from challenges like this because of what they deem as inappropriate liability, when in fact it really is just an educational process. So we're collaborating because parents and adults come to us and say they want these experiences, and they start in Indiana, but we end up with this collaboration and this network that goes all across the country and certainly goes into other countries. We have spaceports in Sweden and Japan. We have them in Canada and French Guiana and in a number of different places, the Caribbean. All these places are popping up, and we collaborate and have these conversations. And what's really cool is because of the magic of the internet and the technologies, we can take distance learning education and we can do things like the Conrad Awards and the Conrad Foundation with my dear friend Nancy Conrad, the wife of astronaut Pete Conrad, who is now learning that because of this great desire to collaborate and explore again, that we have students that talk to each other on the internet through distance learning and put teams together and compete, but they never actually meet each other until they make it to the finals and actually show their final demonstration for a variety of amazing products. So we collaborate over a very large area. They're ham radio, they're astronomy, they're big and small business, they're veterans groups, they're a number.
You're listening to a 2013 Hamvention talk by Brian Tanner, President and Chair of Spaceport Indiana, about the collaboration between Spaceport and Ham Radio. We'll conclude our excerpt from Brian's talk in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available on therainreport.com and on Twitter.
You are listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
So as a result of this collaboration, here's what happens. We end up with over 300 STEM students a week. We've expanded to 4 regional outreach centers so we can take our message further than just our own campus. We have 2 new launch facilities coming. Michigan is our next step. We are starting a spaceport in Michigan as a result of our network. New portable mission centers. We have a new RV that's going to hit the road and take this message further. Smithsonian affiliations and outreach centers, it's all growing very rapidly for us. And let me tell you, every step of the way where we began and continue with our new outreach, there are ham radio clubs and ham radio operators along the way at every step. And I meet new ones every day. And so I can promise you that our RV that travels around and sees these schools and these kids will have a ham radio operator on board every single time we go anywhere. Every time we have a balloon launch, we have a ham radio operator that's involved in tracking and telemetry or prediction or the launch or whatever it is, and we promise that that always happens. And it's been an awesome relationship. So what you're seeing is a real growth. When we talk about our space days, for example, that we have now a couple of times a year, I think last year we had nearly 300 students and adults there. And we had our ham radio operators there, and it was amazing the connections that were made from people who had never understood what ham radio operations were. And now they're exposed to it. And now that ham radio club is doing, I think, weekly, every Saturday, they have a test made available. It's an amazing opportunity. And I can tell you for Space Day in 2013, we already have our hams coming back, and we're going to let kids bounce their voice off the moon. We're going to let them use technology to listen to the sounds the planets make. And they get to just understand more and more the power and potential of radio frequency use. I can tell you the sense of accomplishment, every kid and every adult that ever comes out and does this activity with us, it's almost as if they've done that activity the first time it's ever been done. It's almost like the enthusiasm that they invented that balloon launch for the very first time. And that's the kind of enthusiasm that we want to have around these kinds of events. Although there are hundreds of balloon launches probably on a daily basis around the world, if we can ignite the enthusiasm to get someone to think that they're the one that invented it, they're the first one to do it, this had that impact, we're happy with that. And I'm certainly glad to see a Visa commercial that shows a guy earning enough points to buy a balloon of his very own. And I think that tells you when you've come of age. So what do? Where do we take that? From a simple balloon launch, we get our kids and our adults into a path where they can start to see the other possibilities. Do we do things other than balloon launches? Yeah, we do rocket launches. We create UAVs. In fact, in the fall, we start what I think is the Midwest's and perhaps the country's very first UAV training facility in which between 6 and 8 months, you can actually learn 5 areas of UAV operations and become certified to fly for all those companies and industries that now want to use UAVs in national airspace. And that starts this fall. And it'll be a STEM opportunity. We already have kids that want to sign up that have just barely gotten their high school diploma and are looking at college, but they want to add this on to that first undergraduate degree. We have veterans that come back from the service who understand operational validation. They understand collaboration, interoperability, and connectivity. And what better use can we put our veterans to than to stick them in an operational environment like this where we can save lives and predict things and use their expertise and capabilities? And we have space operations, and the more that we talk about reusability, I am still a firm believer that even inland spaceports, you don't have to live in a coastal region of the country. If you can make the components that return small enough and light enough, and you can steer them well enough, and you can track them well, that you can launch from anywhere in the country. And this opens a door to do a lot of things like CubeSats and NanoSats that never got launched during the 70s and 80s, and other research and development projects that all of us want to be able to fly on our very own. So you can see what happens when you begin to develop these things, the kinds of collaborations that take place. And spaceports just want to be the home for that kind of collaboration, no matter where you're from, what language you speak, how old you are, what disability you have, what challenges in life have brought you. You can do these things without sitting behind the glass window and looking in all the time. And I highlighted in red here that we have people that are working on these projects that are 9 years old. We've decided not to simulate everything for them, but to give them a real opportunity to touch it and to develop things that are actually going to fly in space. So the message I'd leave you with is the spaceports are designed to be your center to come to and take your creativity and capabilities to another level. And ham radio will always be a part of that. What we've decided to do for next year is we're going to offer a 4-day space camp right before the hamvention starts. We're just in Indiana, an hour and 40 minutes away from here. And if you want to come in and build a payload and do some telemetry work and RF work, and you want to fly a balloon with us, we're going to do a 4-day space camp that will end just in time for you to get here on Friday afternoon for your hamvention. And if you'd like to participate in that with us, just go to spaceportindiana.com. You'll see it posted. It's $150 for 4 days, and we bring all the materials and supplies and gases and balloons, and you just have a good time and party with us. From one geek to a whole room of them, I love you all, and I appreciate what you do to contribute to education in this country, and I hope that you'll come and get involved with us because we want you there, and we appreciate what you've done, and I thank you for your time today.
The motivating thoughts of Brian Tanner, President and Chair of Spaceport Indiana, who spoke at the 2013 Dayton Hamvention. We wish Brian continued success in engineering the collaboration between amateur radio high-altitude ballooning and the burgeoning commercial space industry. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2013 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www. TheRainReport.com.